Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Apostle Paul, in the verses and chapter immediately preceding our text, has set forth in plain truth the things concerning the end times. The Thessalonian congregation had been worried because there were men going about saying that Christ had already come again, that his parousia had taken place, and they had been left behind. Indeed, that's a horrifying thought. Left behind in a world that would forever be void of the Savior Jesus Christ. As we look around at the world today, however, we sometimes also wonder, as we look at the rampant sin and destructive vices, where is Christ? Nevertheless, we have the same assurance that these Thessalonians had, that Christ has not yet come. He will come again in future glory to receive his children. Paul, having dealt with the false ideas that these people had concerning the end times, now proceeds to give them additional comfort. He does this by giving them assurances of their personal worth to God. Paul thanks God for these brothers having been loved. This love refers to the love of God, his infinite attribute, which deserves to be praised by all his loved ones. This is the love of God that was planned in eternity. It goes back that far. God in eternity had and came up with a plan of salvation. He would demonstrate this and supremely show forth his love in his Son, Jesus Christ. God loved these Thessalonians and all men who had lived before and who would live after so much that he sent his only Son in the fullness of time to earth to take upon himself flesh. This God-man, Jesus Christ, during his life kept the law perfectly in the stead of all men, and in his death bore the eternal wrath of God for all men. This is the love of God that John talks about in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Thessalonians had a special part in God's plan of salvation. They were his elect. God had chosen them from the beginning of time for salvation. There is no other election save this one unto salvation. And therein lies the comfort for God's elect. They are no mere afterthoughts, much less would God ever forget about them. Election takes place before time came into being. God had picked all of these people out whom he would save. Salvation then rests on divine choice, not on human effort or achievement. There is certainly great comfort and joy in this doctrine of election. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, gives us these words concerning his elect sheep. I give unto them eternal life. Notice the present tense. God's elect already have as a present possession eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We also, as God's elect, can be assured that we are in good hands with Jesus Christ. Or as Paul would put it in his say days on election in Romans 8, we, God's elect, can be sure that no one and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Paul continues his thanksgiving. For whereas the election of God took place in eternity, the execution of his plan of salvation for each individual takes place in time. Paul rejoices that these Thessalonians, chosen by God, were chosen by sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. The word that is here used for sanctification, hagiosmos, is that word used solely of God's activity. God sanctifies us. He separates us for himself. This shows the divine side of conversion. The Holy Spirit then gives us the faith that alone receives the sanctification. This shows the human side. God, the Holy Spirit, prepares and alone enables us to receive this offered gift of the forgiveness of sins. This sanctification of the Spirit and faith in the truth was begun by the calling and causative power of the gospel. Paul once again calls great attention to the power of the word of God. For him, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The form in which the gospel message takes does not matter to Paul, whether it is through his preaching or through an earlier epistle. He has God's promise, as do all those who communicate God's word in its truth and purity, that it will not return unto him void. This has been true in all ages past and will continue to be so, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Indeed, God, through his word, had established the Thessalonian congregation, and they, through their hearing and doing of the word, have been kept thus far safe by their Lord and Savior. What is the purpose in their election, their calling, their faith? Paul here states, that is, that they receive and obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who hold fast to their Lord and Savior until physical death will actually never die. They continue and always will live in heaven and there receive Christ's glory. This is the glorious inheritance that awaits all of God's sons, those that believe on his name. Paul gives us an example of what it's going to be like to receive and to take part in this glory in 1 Corinthians 13, a somewhat famous verse I'm sure that we all know. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in parts, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. In heaven, we will have perfect knowledge. Imagine the possibilities of a perfect knowledge now. We wouldn't have to read half the library for 1650 or early church. We wouldn't have to take notes from professors who talk so fast that even our tape recorders can't pick up all they're saying. Professors wouldn't have to grade papers because they'd all be perfect. And Sem4s wouldn't have to research or write MDivs because then we really would know everything. Yes, St. Paul has given the Thessalonians and also us these assurances of his love from before time in our election to the picture that he gives us of our future glory in heaven. He now leaves us with these reminders concerning the present state of affairs. Brothers, Paul writes, stand firm and grasp tightly that which you have learned from our words and epistle. God's word alone gives us comfort and strength to meet the daily challenges and temptations, and also prepares us that we acknowledge the many blessings that we receive from our God and the salvation that we now possess and enjoy. God's word strengthens us daily and establishes us, as Paul says here, for every good work and word. It is God who is truly at work in us always, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, we should yield to the guiding hand of God. Paul is here trying to tell us and remind us that we cannot only be hearers and studiers of the word, we must be doers. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, gives us the same two marks of his elect sheep, of those sheep that will never be plucked out of his hand. He says, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. By thus following the Good Shepherd, that is, abounding in all good works and words, we even gain additional assurance of our personal election. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And here is the key verse. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do these things, you will never fall. We are to make our calling and election sure to ourselves by using the power of Christ in us to overcome sin in our daily lives for his glory. The gospel message is twofold. We have been freed from our guilt eternally by the Christ for us as seen on the cross of Calvary. And we have been freed from sin's power by the Christ in us. Having these assurances of God's love, our election, and our calling in time, we have an eternal comfort and a good hope. Let us then, through the Holy Spirit's power, lead our lives as one of continuous, genuine praise to God. We should never forget all the good that He has done for us and for our brothers. He has elected us, called us, empowered us to do His will. May these blessed assurances of God's love for you and your personal worth to Him give you His joy, peace, and conviction in your actions. In Jesus' name, amen.